the rock on me because you away, 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 away.
This is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WAFT, Champaign, 90.1 on your FM dial.
And Dave on the board. Today is Sunday, July the 22nd. This is the second to the last Sunday of July in 2018. And this is the Prairie Monk Show, WEFT's weekly look at rails, trails, greenways, and everything else that's conservation-oriented and whatever else Dave has on his plate today.
Yeah, I thought I would run through some of the things we've been doing this week. The Prairie is in mid-June, July, August. It grows very well, very quickly. Lots of rain and temperatures high. Like the corn, it has grown growing very quickly. Corn and soybeans are doing very well. And so is the prairie. So are the invasive species. So we've been out there with Canada thistle, autumn olive, and reed canary grass. I thought I'd run through what we've been doing just to, so that you know that we're not just sitting around. We appreciate your support, financial and physical. We're still saying thank you for the people who came and helped move the Pocket Prairie to its new location on 2nd Street. I have to thank Dave for working with, and Jason Liggett, too, from UPTV, for working on our attempt to get some blogs into action. And we have a link that we can give you, and we've tried that already. You can get it from YouTube, but you can also get it from a link that David has made. The link we have ourselves is probably a little bit sharper than the one that you get from YouTube, because YouTube is fairly compressed and a lot of people watching it. We've also revived it a little bit, taken out a few cars and double images that we didn't need, and it runs about 30 minutes. And that will go up on UPTV when they have time to do it. And we hope that it'll be in time so that you get to see some of the plants that we photographed on there.
Can I unpack what you just said just a tiny little
yes.
bit, please? So Dave and I have worked on this for quite a few hours. You'd be amazed how many hours it takes to...
Sometimes 4 hours, yes.
It's typical 3 hours per hour of finished stuff. Yes. And people who don't do that don't understand. But yes, if you want to get it correct to the millisecond, that takes a while. Dave created a 35-minute video of the prairie plants and what the Big Dig looks like over on Second Street. If you'd like to see it, go to YouTube, look for the Prairie Monk channel, not that hard to find, and it's fairly easy to find a 35-minute excuse me, video that's up there showing you the Second Street basin and prairie plants on it, and in insects, in fact. That will give you a nice image, and it will render quickly. It will pop up really quickly on your computer. But can I give your email address out, Dave? You want to tell them?
Yes, monkdavidzero@gmail.com.
If you send email to that address, that is Dave Monk himself, and he can actually give you a connection to an even better quality version of that same video. In fact, it's been lightly edited to remove a couple of things that Dave eventually decided he didn't want in there. Doesn't make a substantive change, but if you send email to monkdavidzero@gmail.com, Dave can point you to a clearer, crisper version of the 30-some-minute video. The easy way to do it is go to YouTube, go to Prairie Monk Channel, and you can watch it right from there.
Yeah. So we're really wanting you to realize that the city put together a prairie around the trails, and that prairie is, after about 5 years, is expressing itself. Our pocket prairie is just adding to the biodiversity, and... But we've been out there. Sunday afternoon, I went to Lake Park to inspect the prairie there, because I keep eye on various prairies. And sure enough, the Canada thistle has taken off. And Canada thistle is mean. It is has underground rhizomes that survive, and it has millions of seed, and they're fluffy, and they blow. And unfortunately, they are often on roadsides, and they're not really attended to while they're green and the flowers are still blue. And by August, when mowing starts on the roadside, they're just nice and fluffy enough to go everywhere. So we spread this creature around. We would like to see the Department of Transportation use smaller equipment, not 16-foot bush hogs, but rather smaller equipment, and perhaps even do some deadheading to reduce and herbiciding to reduce that problem. Monday, spent a lot of time in the office, kind of pleased with our computerization. I needed information and could get it by dint of looking for, researching for it. It's axiomatic that we have to label our things in such a way that we can retrieve them. And that was happening. I was paying bills and things like that. With the same way. It takes a while to be computerized if you're not in that sort of field. We had continuing work with Land Conservation Foundation interests in our 33 miles to the west. Then on Tuesday, Ron Slater from Decatur called me, and we spent most of the day in Rantoul removing teasel, but we didn't get as much as we thought we were going to get. Some of the plants are pretty big. Some of the plants that have been herbicided by Ron are contorted, but the seeds are still viable. So we've had to go back and rework with those. We have an excellent sort of cutting through the up stages of a moraine, and the roadside there used to be mown a lot. The Department of Transportation has put a no-mow policy on it, and the prairie is expressing itself very well. There was occasional teasel there. We've been at this for like 66 years, and it's paying off. You don't see too many teasels on that roadside prairie or on the Pope Prairie itself. While we were working there, Ken Moglen came by. He used to be a planner with the village of Rantoul, and when retired, he lives nearby, and he was wondering what we were doing, and we got talking, and Ken goes back to where we were working with the village of Rantoul, and there were various administrations. They were very sympathetic with what we were doing. Mayor McGilton would say, I can't deal with you with a 40-foot pole, but what do you want? And we were wanting no more policies on the entrance corridor north of Rantoul, and we got it. And Adams and Pottergrossi were mayors that were doing the same sort of thing. They believed in what we were doing. When that administration, those various administrations passed, the area was mown again. This is an area where there is a lot of remnant prairie. It runs parallel to the railroad line, so you have it's also mown right over onto the railroad corridor. We've had a lot to do with Rantoul. I used to teach environmental studies there at the base, and we had a 9-acre prairie that was on top of a landfill. It was basically a modest prairie with lots of locust trees growing, and it's still in some of that state. But there's prairie plants that we encourage on that site. A little while afterwards, the village of Rantoul got a grant to plant prairie at the entrance corridors. And that was interesting because they dug up prairie that was original prairie that was being mown to put in a relatively rinky-dink prairie. And it lasted for about 1 year. 1 year is not enough time for a prairie to go. We talk in terms of 5 and 10 years for a prairie. So if you don't have patience, it goes back to mowing, and that happened. So if you go north of Rantoul at the moment, you'll see a neatly mown entrance corridor. Just imagine that if that was not mown, it would be expressing itself in prairie at this time. We tried to save an elevator at Thomas Road, which is not too far from Rantoul. That didn't happen. We work with park districts, and they were into this and planted some prairies in other places. Ken Moglen is on the Ludlow Township Board, which is not too far away. It comes right down to Rantoul. Most of the dumping and other activities on the Pope Prairie, the old road, the old Route 45, which has been retired, was prone to dumping, so the Department of Transportation put up two really big closed road signs with 2 8-foot concrete barriers, so you're not going to drive a pickup truck down there and dump stuff. So we thought it was pretty good, so we've been using it. We have to have a dolly to carry in tools and things like that, but it's made the prairie much more private and much less prone to invasion. We talked to Ken and I about the Kankakee Trail potential. Yeah, it's 10 miles to Rantoul, and for 20 or probably even 30 years, the village of Rantoul and others have been wanting to take that old road and convert it into a trail. Hasn't happened yet, but we do have a good record of having approached the Department of Transportation. In the long run, we'd like to see steward that area and have some of the culverts replaced and perhaps go as far as Kankakee. There are other communities there. Every 5 miles is a elevator town. And Loder is a good one for Cemetery Prairie, where the reserve area for the cemetery was just loaded with prairie, and the state has provided some backup reserve for cemetery. And the Grand Prairie Friends has put 9 acres of a buffer zone around it using the same seed. And that's a good place to stop. And there's a Prospect Cemetery at Paxton, which is sort of on that trail. And if you look at the Kankakee area, it is alive with sand dunes that were created when meltways dried up after glaciation moved north when the world warmed up. And those sand dunes have a different style of vegetation. And we talked a little bit about that. And then I came back and I was pleased to have access to the proposal I sent in to Department of Transportation probably 3 years ago. The paradigms haven't changed that much. We've had a road closure and a few other things like that, but basically it's the same. And so we're getting very near to perhaps making another application for stewardship of that corridor. Came back. We lasted until about 4 o'clock, and we were pooped out by that time, so back to town. I went to a city meeting. I know I wanted to talk about connectivity, but prior to that, I'd taken the time to read the agenda, and I realized that one of the agenda items was going to be the vacation of a street to make room for the school expansion. And one of my concerns is often that street pavers, which are a little bit delicate, can be salvaged in a rough, tough way. You put a front-end loader under the bricks. It breaks the bricks. And so I was, one of the things I wanted to say was that those bricks should be salvaged, and they shouldn't go to the landfill. We just gave Packer a whole bunch of bricks that were on the Pocket Prairie, and they got $150 out of those pavers. So, and bricks that allow some drainage. In this case, it's mostly pavers, and I was glad to get a response from the board to suggest that the plan for the vacation of the city. Vacation just means they're going to get out of the city, the street, and you can put buildings in there and do what you want with the plan. So I think it's going to have some written detail to request that the pavers be saved. Apart from that, I was basically there to say something about connectivity between communities. We have 30 miles of railroad bed in the Arcola area that we're losing. We're getting equivalent 30 miles in the Bloomington area that comes through to Farmer City. That rail is being taken out this week. We're dealing with a potential trail to Paxton from Rantoul. We've got the Kickapoo Trail that we'd like to see a little narrower. So we're looking for some regional planning. And I got my chance to spend 5 minutes saying that. Then I hot-footed around the corner to the Art Theatre where there was a sustainability film, which I thought was very good. I knew a lot of it, but it was informative and educational for the general public. Wednesday we continued work with the Second Street blog, and then at night there was a City Planning Commission meeting. I went to it also to say something about connectivity, but I thought probably it's a major topic and the sort of thing where you ought to be on the agenda rather than just speaking for 3 or 5 minutes. So I went, but I talked to people in planning, and I thought I wouldn't speak. But it was suggested that we might want to go to QOTS, which is a Champaign-Urbana transportation organization for Champaign County. I do indeed go to those meetings every once in a while. And this might be a little bit more purposeful, so. But I went, and that was good. Thursday, we re-looked at the proposal we'd sent to the State Department of Transportation, and. One of our fears is that if you have a narrow road, if you make it a bicycle trail, it will inevitably be so wide that it'll take out all the vegetation on either side. So we found that, and I worked on that. And I sent it to copies of what I'd done to Ken, because I'm looking for people who can carry this sort of 10-mile proposal into other generations. We know that these things don't happen quickly. It may take 20 years to do it. They need to have some people who are going to be around for a while to do that. We worked with took a trip out to the warehouse and picked up tools and things. Saturday, I had a teasel workshop, 9 to noon. And one person there, and we encountered rain. So it was a rain day. So we took advantage of that rain day to do some research on that corridor, 10 miles to Paxton. If you want to know where we are, we're 1 mile north of Rantoul on Route 45, which goes around a cemetery called Maple Wood Cemetery. You go to the next section road to the north of the cemetery and turn left if you're going north, and you'll find that old road that has a huge road closed sign on the south side, but on the north side you can park. and walk into the prairie and help us remove Teasel. If you've gone too far, you go over the Canadian National Railroad. You have to turn around and come back. If you're working on that one, you need boots and snack and water and a wire whip, or a machete. We went via the back roads. We went via Olympian Drive. And Olympian Drive has about 6 miles of, 6 acres of roadside prairie. It's a short spectrum prairie so that it doesn't destroy the visual corridor. So you don't have too many things like big blue stem or compass plant or dock. It's the short ones, and it includes the mix includes broadleaves. We hope as that road is assigned to the local banner control, we hope that we can put some more broadleaf species in there. But going by that road, you can get to Leverett. At Leverett, you then parallel all the way to Thomasboro near the railroad, which used to have a lot of prairie, but much of the railroad area has been converted to corn or soybeans. And so there's only little pieces of prairie there, but they're quite good ones. Some of it involves off-road vehicles, and they like to have a corridor, perhaps about a half a mile, might be a mile, for motorcycles and other vehicles. And that also destroys the prairie, but that's not as invasive as farming it. Since it rained, and we went north. If you want to look at the potential of a trail between Kankakee and Rantoul, perhaps and Champagne, perhaps a short trail between Rantoul and Paxson, just 10 miles, there are various features that we're looking at. First place it was going to be a dual highway, which never eventuated. The Department of Transportation has planted ash trees on it, but they're dying because there's an ash borer that gets into them, and when you have all the same trees, you lose all the same trees. Interestingly, the prairie is coming back from underneath without us planting it at all. It was there when the road was acquired, or the space for the road was acquired. So at that point, we have bottom land that is swampy, that's south of the cemetery, and then mesic area, and then dry area that's to the top of the Bloomington Moraine. It's a continental glacier, not a river-style glacier, and it comes, advances north and south, north and south, but the lobe is east and west. So we're looking at that wet to mesic to dry area. When it was dribbling water from glaciation or ice 10,000 years ago, it had little palmate type, if you spread out your hand, like the palm of your hand, you find these little creeks running into the outwash plain, which is like flat film. So those little outlines or creeks are still there, and if you have an 8-inch rain, they're going to be running. So we have one of those little creeks coming through our prairie, and that's quite nice. But just to have someone to visit the Bloomington Moraine and drive along east-west on that corridor to realize the nature of the terrain and the geology is kind of interesting. It's all glacial till and gravel, so it is an early area because it warms up quicker than the swampy drummer and Flanagan soils. And that too is interesting because it often attracts irrigation. Irrigation not only means you put water on, but you have to drain it too. So if you can't drain it, then you can't easily irrigate. And the moraine allows for that irrigation and drainage. We're talking to someone who owns horses, and there's a potential for a horse trail on the east side of the road, going all the way to Ludlow, and then possibly turning right and going east to the Forest Preserve northeast corner of the Forest Preserve. I think it's called Kerr Township. And so we look at that sort of thing. When we get to the peak of the moraine, we look at dry areas where there was lots of lush or wind-blown sand blown across the country to when the meltways dried up. And so there are dry spots. They're very wet when they're wet and greasy and sloppy, but they're very dry when they're dry. They're hard as hard. Then we run down the slope of the back of the moraine to Ludlow, a little township there, one of these towns that are 5 miles apart, so you wouldn't burden a horse and buggy bringing your grain to the elevator more than eight miles. So that was the edict, north, south, east, and west across the country, little villages 5 miles apart. And there's a rural sociology there. There's still some buildings that say this was a small town, and there's a huge elevator, and it's when we look for a trail, we look for adjunct space that is interesting and want to tell people about these things. The visitors that are coming are interested in knowing something about your territory, and even that includes people who are themselves living here. We have a bunch of people who have a mowing syndrome who really need to know what a prairie is, because they often will take that prairie out by overzealous mowing. Sometimes it's actually people have got so used to being on a mower that it gets to be recreational mowing. So we look at that. Moving out of Ludlow, we think of some of the people that we've met and communicated with, and may be supportive of a trail. They already have prairie on this old road. And we went to the Outwash Plain Creek. At the moment, traffic on 45 is being moved around. It's a road that moves around. You go east one section and then take a road to the north and then come back in again on 45. So this small road is becoming a highway. In the meantime, the bridge is almost to completion. We looked at that because one of the problems for a trail is getting across the Outwash Plain Creek. This Outwash Plain Creek takes water from the Bloomington Moraine, but it also takes water from the Paxton Moraine. And the Paxton Moraine was the highest moraine between southern Illinois and Chicago. It was rather high, so they had to have pusher engines to help push the train over the hill. It doesn't take much height to stop a freight train that's very heavy. So when Champagne was wanting to put in underpasses so that people wouldn't have to wait for trains, and there were plenty of trains in those days, in the 20s probably, the soil was burrowed out of the moraine at Paxton, and that leaves probably 30 or perhaps even 50 feet embankment, so you have two railroad lines. North-south used to be Illinois Central, and east-west was Nickel Plate. Nickel Plate, probably named because it was carrying nickel. That meant that the Nickel Plate, which was east and west, was going out across at a high level, and the Illinois Central was at a lower level. And so that was a very unique railroad station, and there was a real attempt to save it. The Beyer family and others were interested in doing that. It didn't happen because they didn't really have a plot of land nearby where they could drag the depot to a new location. But the Nickel Plate line closed out, and the depot was saved, and it's had a little bit of up and down trying to survive, but the Monticello Railroad Museum now is in charge of that, and we're looking at that as a possible visitor center for the 10 miles. Something that would tell you about the plants. We did go to Prospect Cemetery, which is very nearby, and it's just alive with vegetation at the moment. Lead plant and some of the grasses, the compass plant and dock are there. There's New Jersey tea, gray-headed coneflower, purple coneflower, quinine, and it's a respected natural area, and is listed in with the Illinois Nature Preserves Commission as a very important prairie. There is a feeling in Paxton from time to time that neatness is next to godliness, and I don't know where it comes from, but I have been on committees and I've had to go to Paxton quite a few times to be saying that there was a forest near the swimming pool and there was an attempt to remove that. I don't know whether that survived or not. There was a little prairie on a mile south of Rantoul, which is very, very good. Oh, just a mile south of Paxton, excuse me. Is excellent, but there was a move at that point for the modern Route 45 to go onto the old Route 45, and that left a little triangle of land that had been prairie, and without people realizing it, got mown, and then it got replanted to prairie, a little bit like at Rantoul, where the same sort of thing happened. A native prairie was dug up for a planted prairie, and that took out the native prairie. So then again, we had a huge meeting. Reba was in charge. He's very aware of the value of the Prospect prairie. He had his teenage children to take the time-lapse photographs of plants growing there, like I'm forgetting the name of the plant that I'm thinking of, but and Reber ran a meeting where a lot of people at it that didn't want to see that cemetery mown. It's likely that most of the people in the cemetery came across us with a covered wagon and people died en route, and there's very few people in that cemetery who have relatives in the Paxton area. There's one or two, but it's not a place where it needs to be mown. The value of the prairie is much greater than the neatness syndrome. So we look at these things, and went a mile north of Paxton. Most counties had a nursing home or a place where you put people who were non-compos mentis, or sometimes it was like a jail. But these were usually two- and three-story buildings. And they're a little out of town, but they're still used. And in the case of Paxton, they took down the old building and put in a one-story building. And at that time, there were a number of people who felt that it would be interesting for older people to enjoy their heritage prairie. So we had Peter Schramm from Galesburg to come with, he selected seed so that the lower plants would be in the front and taller plants would be at the back. And we got a loan of a tractor, and Schramm brought a prairie seeder, and we put in that prairie. And it's lasted for probably 25 years. And lo and behold, it has been mown. Mm-hmm. So that same syndrome is around Paxton. I don't know whether it has an ethnic base. It's basically a Scandinavian community. And that may be a difficulty, but there seems to be some element in Paxton that really wants to mow things. And so I have to get hold of the Bayer family or others who have been involved in these sorts of preservations over the years. It's rather disappointing to have been around long enough to see vital prairies removed. So we came back, and I was pleased to go to the farmer's market and pick up peaches. I purposefully get hold of peaches that have been slightly damaged, as there are stink bugs and things that it will suck the sap out of a peach, but it's only a very small amount of the peach. And you just have to know that across this country, there is a huge amount of viable food that is wasted. And so I do that, and I'm very pleased to do that. I have to carve out certain pieces, but it's a contribution to preserving things. We do need a conservation farm or place where we can do it. The university does that. They have a farm where the dormitories have they use the South Farm for their food production of vegetables and the like. And they also have a composting system where the food that they don't eat gets composted. Mm-hmm. And so from the farmer's market, I went to Savoy. I had materials, and I pick up mostly from dumpster diving a huge amount of cloth is usually in the form of thrown out clothing. It would cost to recycle it. There's clean, reusable garments, but that can go to baling. And there's a Goodwill in Champaign. There's another one in Savoy. The one in Champaign will bale fabric. And that's another one of these things where there's a mountain of fabric baled each, thrown out each year, often to the landfill. In some cases, it's positively burned. And that's because certain agencies do not want their excess fashions to be distributed at a lower price to a greater population. The uniqueness is to keep it few and not spread it everywhere. So in England at the present time, there's a big argument about agencies burning viable clothes just to keep the fashion industry afloat. And you have to know that no way are they going to give this to poverty people or recycle it in a different manner. That's not the purpose. We have some of the same sort of things here, but you can take T-shirts with lots of information on them that people aren't really going to wear, and they could go to salvage. I want to say that at Lincoln Square at the moment, the Idea Store is moving from Champaign to Urbana and going to Lincoln Square. And they're right next to a connections resale store, which is mostly handling some of the sort of fabric. So there's not an overlap. The Idea Store brings together a piece of material that artists might be able to put together, and they have a real trade. There's probably 30 or 40 of these across the country, and they give people an opportunity to dream about what they might, how they might express themselves. And already, if you go to Lincoln Square, there's a run of Idea material lined up in what used to be the Art Mart. And so the space will be level. You won't have to do stairs. Mm-hmm. And I wish them well there. They'll do it very slowly and move across into that space. There's a little, what used to be a toy store just to the north that they're going to occupy too. So I think that's a positive. I'm not sure whether that will save the soul of Lincoln Square, which is being argued about. I like that connection. I stopped on 45 South. I was dealing with Goodwill to the South and also with the Lake Park. But on the way, I dealt with a little bunch of teasel on Route 45. If teasel gets away, you've got it. Mm. And so I wire-whipped that. But I went around to the Lake Park Prairie, which I accessed through Winfield Village. And there's this huge battery of Canada thistle. So I had a pair of secateurs, and I cut off fairly big branches because I didn't have the time to take every head that is getting to the point of being mature. If a nice wind comes along in a few weeks' time, that will be spread all over the prairie, and it's extremely hard to get rid of. So I really need people that might come as volunteers, or even if we have to pay them, to remove that those dead heads. We don't know where to put the dead heads. Theoretically, they should go to an incinerator. But we don't have a public incinerator. The university has an incinerator, but I've been there and they've been obliged to say no. Mm-hmm. But, so at the moment, I think the worst scenario is to put the dead heads into big plastic or non-plastic bags and throw them in the local dumpster, because they'll go to the landfill and presumably there will be a lot of these sort of invasive species around the landfill, and they will detail with them. They will in some cases be composting them. So I don't have any other alternative at the moment. And I have really tried to get these things incinerated. You might have a private burn pile, and we've tried that too. But it's important. I would say to you, if you have a moment or two to spare, a place like Lake Park is only about 2 miles south of town. It's on First Street and Curtis. And if you feel obliged, you might find the Canadian Thistle area. It's, if you know the prairie, there's a ridge that privatizes the prairie, and that ridge is fairly recent. It was basically the topsoil off of the Burwash field that was a corn field or a soybean field just north, and that's been replaced by a assisted living place and a university apartment. But builders don't like to build on topsoil, so this topsoil has been scraped into a berm, which is quite interesting because it allows you to overlook the prairie. One portion of it was very low, so some additional soil was brought in. But when you do that, you have to make sure that the soil that is being brought in doesn't contain the like of Canada thistle. And that happened, and that's where the problem lies. This is Lake Park. Lake Park has 74 houses, and they've dammed the meander so that there's a lake, that's the Lake Park, and they put a bypass through that has a fairly rapid fall. If you know that you have to take your water around through a meander, it's going to take longer to drop to the same level. But if you put a gooseneck connection, it can cause erosion. So that has been aided, or it's prevented erosion to that by putting in some little groins, like small waterfalls, and that slows the water. Well, that area is easy to get to, and if you know what you're doing and you're removing Canada thistle, that would be tremendously helpful.
Seven minutes,
okay. We could also use people at Rantoul. It's more like 20 miles away, 18 miles. So it's not for everyone. It takes time to get there, probably about half an hour to get there and to get back. It would be handy if you had a machete or a wire whip. If not, we can provide you with same. It doesn't take a lot of energy. The wire whip, if applied carefully, will take the 8-foot plant out. You have to make sure that there's no connecting little part of the plants, because that connection will allow it to continue to ripen and to spread the seeds. You need boots. We often use Wellington boots because there are ticks. We haven't encountered a lot of ticks, but our preventative measure is to use Wellington boots that where the ticks can't climb up your socks or whatever. Tucking your trousers in your socks is a help. Using some DEET or something that is the insects don't like is a help. So you can be there with regular boots. Have long pants. This is not the place for short shorts. You'll encounter other insects that like to inspect your body, and but it's something where you might take a snack, certainly take water, and a hat. And in the process of removing the teasel, you have to get to know some of the prairie plants. And so if we're there with you, we'll show you. It's a borrow pit. That means it's a gravel pit. So the regrowth succession is coming back very slowly, as if the glacier left 10,000 years ago and was coming back. We encourage the process by taking seed mostly from the remnant prairies that are nearby. There's an old road, there's an old interurban corridor, and there's a railroad line, all of which have remnant prairies on them. Ron Sleater from Decatur has been coming regularly to herbicide, and the herbicide has gotten most of the plants, and they're curled over, as herbicide will do. But the pods on the end are still green, so we have to cut those off too. They're slightly easier to deal with because they're going to be out of action. But we do want to remove the pods so you can remove them at a higher level. The more mature plants sometimes are an inch across, so it does take a little bit of a whack to cut them, and it's right now been rather juicy, so you feel encouraged. You can see action, and you also take interest. The plant has a leaf that surrounds the stem and collects water there. So sometimes when you hit the plant, you cover it with a spray of water. No problem. But it's how that plant survives. It also likes fairly disturbed areas. So if you have an area where bush hogs not only mowed, but they sort of dug into the cutting where the road goes through the moraine, you'll have disturbance enough that the weeds or the teasel will grow. But if you don't have any seeds, you won't have any teasel. The big problem is that you have a cemetery, and teasel is this plant that was designed to tease wool so that you could spin it well. And then it is also a very attractive dried arrangement, and it gets into the cemetery. And my, just south of the cemetery, it's wall-to-wall teasel at the moment. And we also have autumn olives that invade because somebody thought that autumn olives would feed birds, which they do, but the birds defecate all over. So we have now a regional weed tree. It's autumn olive, so we need to have a saw and take it out. We also have cypress trees, but in the process of doing that, even if you only come for half an hour to look and see, you would enjoy a day at that location, or even half an hour at that location, if you want to come and look and see. So
1 minute.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably about as much as we can do today. We would like you to call me at 217-840-1911 or monkdavid0@gmail.com. If you're going, we'd like to give you some helpful advice, or you might have some questions. You might need to know what the plant is that you're going to remove. Sometimes the plant we removed is mistaken for another plant, which is prickly lettuce, which is in the same location often, but is not nearly as invasive. So this is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WAFT Champaign 90.1 on your FM dial.
And Dave on the board. As always, the views and opinions expressed are solely those of the speakers. Dave, you specifically were looking for volunteers who could be here next Monday?
Oh, yes. We will be going on Monday morning.
So this coming Monday, and you want to leave from here about 9 o'clock?
Yes, 9 o'clock is a good time.